voting, approved vote by mail, but we want the procedure to be accessible for those who are blind to have the opportunity to vote independently. And on May 12th, 30 municipalities in New Jersey were offered the opportunity to do this. If Tracy Carcione's on the call, please unmute yourself too, because I want you to be involved in this too. Tracy had called me. She wanted to vote by mail. Was it accessible? She did a lot of legwork on it and got her town to approve or whatever they did, but she was able to vote by mail and actually submit it from her computer to her town hall voting establishment, lack of a better term. So it can work. We have some questions to ask later on. So without any further conference from me here, let's turn over to Charlie. Charlie Munford, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Charlie and I have been old friends from the first phone call. He laughed at two of my jokes, so I knew he was a good guy. So, Charlie, what is your involvement in this procedure for accessible vote by mail?
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mr. Joe. I appreciate the introduction, and y'all can probably tell from my accent that I am not from New Jersey. However, I am so pleased to be speaking with y'all today. My role in this really is just sort of sales and outreach for Voting Works. So Voting Works is a nonprofit vendor of election systems and services. And so we do various things. We sell actual voting machines, that themselves are, accessible. We also do, we have a vote by mail product that allows election administrators to bulk mail absentee ballots. But the product I'm talking to y'all this morning about is, especially important here, which is, it's called Accessible Vote by Mail. And this is a product that was built by an engineer named Aaron Wilson, who may be joining the call in a few minutes here to talk a little bit more about it. But he basically built this, solution about 7 years ago, and has gradually introduced it in more states. And now New Jersey is the fourth state, I believe, to sign up to this. And so we teamed up with Aaron, a little while ago to basically, help make this type of solution available all across the country. And so, it's an honor to, have New Jersey be the first customer to really sign since we joined this project. So it's real simple. I mean, I can just sort of describe it for y'all. There's a 3-minute video which I could play, but I hate to do that because I feel like parts of that demo video might not be pertinent to y'all because it's really designed for election administrators. But I would just ask you, Mr. Joe, if you think that'd be useful after I get done describing it. Essentially,
let's talk through it, and if it's only 3 minutes, we'll give it a shot and see what happens, and then you can always send us the link and we'll send it out to everybody also. Because sometimes you play these things over the phone, computer, they just don't sound right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
President Ruffalo?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that that I unmuted Aaron Wilson so he could join in with Charlie.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention at the beginning of the call that this call is being recorded so that we can listen to it later. Sorry for the interruption. Thank you.
Yeah, this recording will be on our website eventually in this day or two or so. So, okay, Charlie, you may continue, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, I'm so glad that Aaron's on the call now. I've sort of described how Voting Works got involved and a little bit about what this is. It's basically a secure portal for voters with disabilities to access their correct ballot and be able to mark your ballot on your home computer where you have all of your accessibility features already built in, and then, print off the ballot and mail it in as an absentee ballot, as an absentee paper ballot. And so, Aaron, are you there?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, sir. welcome to our New Jersey Town Hall call.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Charlie's doing a great job introducing it. I'll just be here to answer any questions if you have them. And yeah, just happy to be here. Happy to have the system going live in New Jersey. And looking forward to any feedback and questions you have.
Thank you. Thank you. Charlie, you got anything else to continue? I'll see if Lynn, is Luann on the call or Mary Saccone, do you know? If Luann is on the call or Mary Saccone, please unmute yourself.
I'm here. This is Mary Saccone.
Mary Saccone, there she is. Is Luann with us too? Luann Blake? Please unmute yourself. All right, let's start with Mary Saccone. Mary Saccone is with the Disability Rights of New Jersey. Would you like to add your input to this? Mary's the one that sent me an email back in February about thinking about how we could do this. And I said we're going to have a conference call in March. I forget the date now. March 11th, I think, was our call, or later in March, sometime in March, and we're going to bring it up then. But then everything, as everyone knows, everything by middle of March came to a halt. Everything came to a halt. So we jumped on this early April or so. And that's when we started putting our foot to the pedal, and we are here today. So, Mary, can you give us a little background of what is your role in this?
Okay, my role is basically I'm the Director of Policy for Disability Rights New Jersey, and I've been working on voting rights issues for many years at Disability Rights New Jersey. We host a hotline on Election Day, which we will be doing again for this upcoming primary, and we do a lot of outreach, and we try to make sure that voting is accessible to people with all disabilities. I've been working with the director of the Division of Elections and a stakeholders group for many years to try to deal with issues that pop up during voting. And one of the things that we've been talking about for the past year, or I've started really looking at it within the past year, was that New Jersey has gone to a no excuses vote by mail process. And they really are trying to encourage people to vote by mail. However, the vote by mail system was strictly a paper ballot. And so I started talking to the director on how to go about making sure that it was accessible. So that's when I reached out to Joe early this year, before all of the craziness of COVID, and said, is this something that your organization is interested in proceeding with to try to challenge New Jersey's vote by mail, as it did not have an accessible feature? In the meantime, what happened was COVID came on and the state reached out to me and said, hey, the governor's going to order these municipal elections in May, that were scheduled for April. They're going to move them to May 12th. And they recognize that since it's only going to be vote by mail, or it can only be done vote by mail, how do we make this accessible? So we had a big conference call and we arranged for the accessible system that was used. And that they would also do in-person voting for people who couldn't use the computer for accessible vote by mail. It was very successful. It was limited, and they said that they would only do it for that one election. In the meantime, when they set that system up, there was some outrage about it. So we weren't sure whether they were going to continue to do it. And that's where we are now. So basically, they've arranged for Vote Works to come in to provide accessible vote by mail. So I'll let Charlie explain the system since it's their system, but that's where we are. So my focus is they're still only agreeing to do it for the July election, since it's going to be primarily vote by mail, although not completely. But I want to get it so that they have accessible vote by mail permanently. So that's my advocacy efforts going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And when we have our state convention this year, whether it's virtual, and we are hoping and planning there will be an in-person live convention in November, early November, at the Woodbridge Hotel called the Delta Hotel in Woodbridge, where we've had it for the last couple of years. We're going to invite Mary or someone from her Disability Rights in New Jersey to present to us. By that time, the election would have ended on the 3rd, and our convention starts on the 4th, 5th, I guess it would be. So Mary, pencil that in. I know she penciled it into our calendar, but we're months away from it, but you never know. We will have a convention, virtual or in person. We will have Mary there or someone from her Disability Rights of New Jersey there. Before we go to Charlie, back to Charlie, is Mary Saccone on the call? Mary Saccone, raise your hand so Linda can get you to speak.
As I said before. Oh, you mean Tracy. You mean Tracy.
Tracy. I'm sorry. I said Mary Saccone. Tracy Carcione. There you go.
Hi, John. This is Tracy.
There you go. Tracy was our Daniel Boone in this back in May. And Tracy, give us a little background of you had called me, you were on our committee, and then tell us what happened and how it all worked out for you.
I contacted the Board of Elections, the County Board of Elections, several times, and they were figuring out how it was all going to work. And when they had figured it out, they sent me an email with a link and a PIN number. And all I had to do was go to the website, put in my PIN, check a box that said, I swear that I am a blind person or a disabled person, I forget exactly, and that I need this accessible ballot. And then that took me to the ballot, and the people were there who were running. I put a checkbox next to the one I wanted. I could see their party affiliation and all about them. It was very clear. And so I checked the people I wanted. I said, continue. It showed me what I had done so I could check it and say, yes, this is what I wanted. And I said, yes. And then it said, do you want to print this yourself or do you want to send it to the Board of Elections to print it, which is what I picked because I don't have a printer. And then it said I had to electronically sign it and I was done. It was really easy. I really liked it.
There you go. What a salesman, Charlie. There you go. What a great sales young lady. So Mary, Tracy did it, found no real complaints in it, had the PIN number, that's really the key. One of the keys that I keep asking, people keep telling me or asking me, so on and so. But Tracy, thank you for your kindness. You wrote a beautiful letter. That letter was used in our correspondence with the governor and others too. So Tracy, thank you for being the Daniel Boone of New Jersey.
Yeah. Tracy, thank you so much. This is Charlie again. That story just makes me, just puts a big smile on my face. and that is just exactly, how easy the accessible vote by mail experience should be. Just to double down on her description, the process starts when you contact your local election administrator. They send you a PIN, a link. You just verify your identity. And then that gives you access to basically a secure website that has all sorts of security features to make sure that, no one can see, what you're doing there. No one can spy on your vote. It basically downloads the software that's needed for you to fill out the ballot is basically downloaded onto your home computer. And so it's not sending messages back to the website when you're looking at the candidates and accepting or rejecting the candidates you want to vote for. It's not telling anyone. It's just staying there right there on your home computer. And, it's got some other features to it. So it's got the ability to, of course, it's compatible with screen readers or any other accessibility, features you have on your home computer, whether it's SIP and PUF or what have you. And you can change the contrast, you can change the speed of the voice and all that sort of thing. And then the interface is as simple as possible. The local administrators are able to configure this to some extent, so they can change, they can change how the ballot is arranged or so forth. But I think, Aaron can correct me on this, but I think most administrators are trying to ensure that the ballot that you interact with is as similar to the ballot of every other voter as possible. That there's as few differences there as possible, in terms of layout, in terms of, choices and the ranked order and the flow of it, just to, to try and comply and be sure that, you know, everyone with disabilities has exactly the same, as close to the same voting experience as possible as every other voter. So, you know, that's definitely our goal too. And now one thing that Ms. Tracy mentioned that I should probably correct is that, you know, it is important for you to have a home printer and to be able to print out those choices and mail them in, because that is a security feature that has been challenged, and we definitely don't want this to be challenged. You know, we want this to be available to New Jersey voters, you know, forever. And also we want, you know, y'all to be able to give us feedback as you use the product and even make it better. Voting Works is a organization, as I said, a nonprofit, but we're basically like a tech startup, and any sort of problems we encounter with the product, you know, from users are really important to us, and we want to hear all about it. So, you know, after this call, I'll get with Mr. Joe and be sure that, you know, our contact information is available to y'all. You know, if you have any frustrations or difficulties or just even tips or ideas about how to make the product better, we'd love to hear that. And, you know, hopefully, you know, y'all have a part in making this, you know, this type of thing much more widespread across the country. I mean, it's obviously a time where there are a lot of challenges in voting this year. You know, there are a lot of challenges in life this year. And so, you know, we're just hoping that, you know, by listening to folks like y'all, we can improve this and help make it a little bit easier.
Tracy Carcione. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I have a question too. Okay, Tracy.
I think the thing that I used was Democracy Live and not Vote Works. But usually when I need to print something, I put it on a flash drive and walk over to the UPS store and ask them to print it. Is this possible with your system, or does a person really have to have their own printer?
Let me turn that question over to Aaron.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, thanks, Charlie. You can put it on a flash drive and take it over there. If that's the approach that works for you. I think, you know, Charlie mentioned the, you know, that was the decision done by the state, and obviously we support, you know, the requirements that they put out, and we meet those here. Obviously that's not as ideal, I think, as returning it, but electronically, but those are the requirements we're working under for now. But you can definitely put it on a thumb drive and take it over.
So my question is this. She voted May 12th and hit the submit key, and her vote was accepted. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, now you're saying we should print it out and also mail it in? Or do one or do A or B? Or don't do submit and really print it out and mail it?
Well, so, Mr. Joe, I believe that to answer your question, I believe what Aaron just said, you know, and Ms. Tracy just said, I think it's, you know, that her, what she was describing was the Democracy Live system, which was the previous.
Oh, I got you.
System. You follow me? And so with ours, ours has replaced it, you know, and ours. And so the Democracy Live system, not available anymore. It was like, you know, I don't know if it was struck down or disallowed or just the election board decided to drop it. But anyway, so our solution now is available. And the way ours works is just what he was saying, is that it does have to be, the ballot does have to be printed out and mailed back in. And unfortunately, that's a requirement we can't get around, you know, as far as the law there. But
gotcha.
Does that answer your question?
Okay. Yeah. So we know now we can vote, accessible on our computer, print it out, mail it in.
Exactly.
Simple as that. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Is Luann on the call? Luann Blake?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't have a number to call her, so.
I saw her name on there. I saw her name on there a minute ago.
Hi, but. Joe. I'm sorry.
There she is.
I was muted. I apologize. I didn't know I was muted.
She was finishing her toast and eggs. No, my kid. No. Luann, have you been on the call the entire time? Did you hear this conversation?
And actually, I wanted to say a little something about the printing part. Because the Voting Works system downloads the ballot for you. So you can copy it onto a flash drive and then take it, you know, wherever you need to take it to print it, you know, be it a computer at work or a UPS store or wherever you need to. Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, well, actually, are they may be separate documents. So if you're taking it to a UPS store, you may want to ask them to print out the instructions first so that the ballot will be, and have the ballot printed second. So when they pick the papers off of the printer, your ballot is not on top, you know, to maintain your secrecy. Aaron, is that correct? Is that good advice?
Yeah.
Or is that?
Well, I think it is good advice, and I will answer, I think, part of your first question there, which was they are two different. You download the instructions separate from the ballot because the instructions
right.
do come from the server, and the ballot is just local to your machine.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense. Very good. Yeah. So, Luann, you want to add anything else about the, not to spend a lot of time on this, but the history of HAVA and how it has developed to today?
Well, sure. So HAVA, Help America Vote Act, actually only applies to in-person voting. So the ballot marking devices that you use at the polling place. HAVA requires that there be at least one accessible ballot marking device in each polling place. And actually, I am going to be writing a resolution for our national convention to urge Congress to update HAVA and expand HAVA so that it actually does cover vote by mail. Since, you know, vote by mail is becoming more and more popular, and it was, you know, before COVID, becoming increasingly popular. So I think vote by mail really is the wave of the future, whether we like that or not. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done to strengthen HAVA so that it covers vote by mail and covers certification and guidelines for these electronic ballot delivery systems, because there really is no guidelines or standard guidelines other than the web content accessibility guidelines. So all that kind of needs to be done. So right now, what we're left with in terms of enforcement is the Americans with Disabilities Act, Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. Both of those federal laws require that voters with disabilities be provided an equal opportunity to vote privately and independently, both at the polling place and in absentee voting and vote by mail. So in a quick nutshell, that's kind of where we're at right now in terms of federal law and our rights under federal law.
Thank you. I know several states have been doing it. Oregon's been doing it for a number of years. Utah, most of the entire state's been doing it. There's others, too. And just to inform this to everyone on the call, you probably know this already, that absentee ballots have been around for a good number of years. And the military, I believe, have been voting, quote, voting by mail with their computers. They're overseas, so they've been doing that for a number of years with no hassles, no problems. So I have a question, too. I don't know if I should bring it up here or not. I know in the beginning, Mary Ciccone, we talked about having one, maybe two, quote, live voting establishments, polls. You go in each county. I went on some website the other day, and it said, I looked it up, and it looks like all the polls will be open on July 7th. So we could go, if we felt like doing it, go in person and vote. or vote by mail through our computer or doing absentee ballots. It's given us lots of opportunities to vote, so there's no excuses for us not to vote. Am I correct in that, Mary, that saying that many are open on
yes.
July 7th through the old-fashioned way? Yes.
Yes, the polling places will be open, but voting will, if you go to vote in a polling place, if you are voting on the non-accessible machine, if you just want to go and vote, you don't care about using the accessible machine, it will be a provisional ballot. If you request to use the accessible voting machine, then you will have a regular ballot. You will be voting on the machine. But if you just go and ask to vote, it's all going to be provisional ballot. They're really trying to encourage people to just use the vote by mail.
Correct.
Every person, and most people should have their ballots already. I got mine last week. If you are it's the primary, so they mailed out absentee ballots or vote by mail ballots to people who had identified which party they were and their regular voters. So if you were a registered Republican or a registered Democrat and you vote regularly and you're what they consider an active voter, they just automatically sent you a ballot. If you are not declared Democrat or Republican, you don't vote very often, they sent you a vote by mail application, and which you then would respond and return. Because as it's a primary, only Republicans or Democrats can vote it's a closed primary, only Republicans and Democrats can vote.
Correct.
So,
I have another question that came up, Mary, maybe you can answer this or someone else on the call can answer this. I got a call from some people saying that my daughter-in-law has moved out in September, and we just got two mailings from her, and her husband has moved out, and my mom died in 2007, and she just got a vote by mail. So the question has come up, can someone take that and vote four times, two for a daughter-in-law, two for the son that moved out, one for the mother, and vote for them? I know it's illegal, but that's what the question has come up so many times. And I think this is just my own theory here. Both sides, whoever wins in November, has got to cause or bring a forth this vote was a fraud. Either side's got to come up with that because it's up. Anyway, my question is, this household got five ballots or five pieces of paper to vote, and they no longer live in the house. One lady's dead, and three or four have moved out. How does that happen, or how can we correct that? This is just one household. I'm sure people move, millions of people move every day, every year. Get Mary, I'm sorry.
Well, as I say, for people who move, the difference is generally if you've got the wrong address, it will not be forwarded. So it should be just returned to the Board of Elections. So I don't think that's happening quite as much. Probably what happened is there's people that still live there who've been living there for a long time. So it just happens to be that household. With respect to if someone has died, say your family member has died, you don't want them to be, someone to improperly use their ballot, you just call the Board of Elections and advise them, hey, my mother died 2 years ago, you need to take her off the rolls. And they may say, can you give me documentation? You give a death certificate, then their names will be taken off the roll. They can't go taking people's names off the rolls. And when people move, if the person moved out, they're not going to get a ballot at their new location, most likely, unless they've re-registered wherever they are. So you may want to forward that ballot to that person so that they can vote. But I don't, honestly, when you're talking about, people freak out about it and they say, oh, there's opportunities for lots of fraud. Well, Oregon, California, Oregon, Colorado, Washington, I think Utah, those four states have been doing full vote by mail, and that being the only system, it's a total vote by mail system. And the fraud, the allegations of fraud are like a minuscule, like 0.002%. I mean, such a minuscule, there's no claim that there's really widespread fraud going on. even fraud that would affect any election, even a small local election. So I think people, I think there's a lot of demagoguery going on about vote by mail fraud. And I think what needs to be done is people need to think about, you know, that that's really a small amount of what's going on. Because if someone moved and they try to vote twice, somewhere along the line, it's going to get caught. So, and I know what happens. So that's, you know, and if someone dies, yes, someone may vote that ballot, but that really doesn't happen that often. You don't see people coming into the polls. New Jersey's not going to go to a full vote by mail system. They're going to have polls. I don't know what they're going to do for the November election. They're only doing this for this election. So this system for this particular election, they may change it for the upcoming election in November. I don't know what they're going to do for that one. So I don't think, I think there's a lot of people who have particular interests in raising the fraud claim, but I don't think it really happens that frequently. And as they say, in Oregon and Washington State, they've been doing this for, I think Oregon said 20 years, they've had all vote by mail. And you really don't hear any complaints about tons of people voting improperly. It's not, I mean, and when people start really looking into it, there's such a minuscule amount of fraud that it's very limited. So that's my take on it. So
thank you.
If people come to you and say that, try to think in terms of big, you know, what are people trying to do? They're trying to scare people not to vote or tell people to, so that they disregard the findings of the election. It really doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Thank you. You know, you hear stories over the past years that, I forget what county was in Florida or Illinois, I forget where it was, that more people voted in that county than were actually registered. So, and I, in New Jersey, we always say this: vote early and vote often. Unfortunately,
yeah. What about the story in Patterson right now?
Was that who's on the call? Please state your name. And wait to be recognized. Don't just chime in. So if you want to,
John Abamont, what about the story in Patterson right now?
I don't know that story.
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole, that one candidate, he's short by two votes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole big debacle with the two votes, and they don't know where they came from, and they're thinking they're duplicate votes and so on and so forth. I'd have to go back and look at News 12, but that was a big story. Not one of the non-COVID stories on News 12 the other day, Joe.
Yep. Okay. Well, you keep
excuse
us
me, is President Ruffalo?
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. So I just muted John. At the beginning of the call, I asked all participants to please stay muted. There will be a question and answer session. I know some people have their hands raised, but if you could please follow protocol and wait for President Ruffalo to turn the call over for a question and answer and not just jump in and interrupt him, we would greatly appreciate that, and so would the presenters. Thank you, President Ruffalo. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much. So let's see. There was a note that came into me the other day. Just let me find it here, and then we'll ask for... Hold on. Give me 1 second. And you answered one question, Mary Chacon. Thank you. Here we go. Questions that came to me. You answered that one? Okay. If that answered... Well, guess what? We answered the questions that came... About the, okay, very good. So, Charlie, you have anything else to cover? We're going to go around the call, or around the phone, as we say, with the presenters, and then we're going to open up for questions. Anything else you want to add, Charlie?
No, other than just to, you know, thank y'all and say, you know, again, just reiterate, you know, we really are excited to be involved with voting in New Jersey, and we're looking forward to hearing y'all's feedback about our system and how we can make it more user-friendly.
Super. Aaron Wilson, I think your name is Aaron, if I remember correctly. Any other comments you have, sir?
No, I'll just reiterate what Charlie said. We're happy to be of any assistance and look forward to hearing about your experience, and we commit to making any improvements that would better your experience within, of course, the requirements set by the state.
Very nice. Let's see, Luann Blake, anything from Luann?
No, I think your experience with using voting works will be a good experience. I really encourage as many folks to use it as you can. So that's, you know, one of the things I hear from states is that not too many people are using their electronic ballot delivery system in those states that have them. So I encourage everybody to use you know, the system, I think you'll have a good experience.
Thank you very much. Mary Saccone. Anything else for Mary? Mary, thank you for your hard work in this. I mean, to set it up, the first call and the second call, and getting the governor to be aware of it, and the other people that we had to get in with. So thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I encourage everybody to use the system. Let you know if you've got a problem on election day. You know, you can always call our office and speak with me, or you can email me directly at mciccone@drnj.org, and I'm happy to help in any, you know, answer any questions about voting.
Thank you. Now, this segment is being recorded, and Ellen Sullivan is taking some notes on it. Could you just give us, if you want to do it now or do it later, the phone number that we would need to call in if there's any problems with it? Do you have that number handy now, or they'll be coming out
shortly?
Yeah,
the number for our hotline is 1-800-922-7233. And otherwise, you can email me at mciccone@drnj.org.
Perfect. Thank you, Mary. Mary's been doing this for a good number of years, and we thank her for having the interest in our blind community, disabled community, to live the life we want and vote independently. That's what I fought for when I was in the service, to give everybody the right to vote independently. Secret ballot for all. Mary, I thank you. Tracy Carcione, anything else?
I should
call her Danielle Boone, not Daniel. Danielle Boone.
Mary, is this system going to be available for the primary? Because I got a note from my town about it, and it didn't mention anything about contacting the county clerk or anything to get an accessible ballot. It just said go to the polls and use the audio machine.
No, it's supposed to be available, and it should be, you should contact your county clerk like you did in the municipal election.
Okay, thanks.
In fact, Ellen's listening in. Ellen, when you do these minutes or notes, also put in it on top, the following are the minutes, and after the minutes will be the letter from Governor Murphy. That really explained what to do, how to do. It was right there. So if you have that letter still, Ellen, great. If not, I'll find it and send it to you so we could put the two together and send it out to everybody on our distribution list so they have that. There's all the instructions on what to do with your county clerk and things like that. So excellent. Thank you, Danielle Boone, better known as Tracy Carcione. All right, so there's no more. Linda, you have any questions? Before we open up, Linda. Melinda, is anything else?
No, I just have a process that I would like them all to follow.
Okay. What,
so you I'll let me know when it's time to do that.
Yep, I'll let you know that. So I want to thank everyone on this call. Please stay on the call. We're going to have open questions. You will say your name and maybe where you're from. That'll be good. And then who you want your question directed to, or it's a general question. And then we'll ask someone on this call to answer your question. So, Linda, you can continue from here.
Okay. Thank you, President Ruffalo, for having this important town hall. I also want to thank Charlie, Mary, Luann, and Curtis, and Tracy for their valuable input. So now we will take questions from the floor. So I see several people have their hand raised, which is great. So to raise your hand by phone, you press the star key plus the number 9. To raise your hand by computer, it's Alt Y. You will be identified by either your name or the last four digits of your phone number. You will temporarily be unmuted. You ask your questions, and any one of our panels can answer that, answer the questions for you. So we're going to begin with Curtis Chung. I'm going to ask him to unmute.
Good morning.
And Curtis, tell us where you're from, sir.
I'm from Colorado now. I used to be from a variety of other states, including Maryland, New Mexico, and Iowa, and Minnesota, and Hawaii. But I'm from Colorado now, which is the home of vote by mail, and which for the last three elections has been using an accessible voting system for people with disabilities, which has, as Luann correctly pointed out, not been utilized as widely as we all would wish. So my question about the system that's being implemented in New Jersey, and probably it's a broader question, is I think that what we're learning, those of us that have done this for a long time, is that the printer requirement is becoming an issue. I was surprised as we got into this, because when we first started, we thought the printer was a great idea because that's what we did in New Mexico. Well, guess what? Now a lot of people don't have printers. And a lot of people don't know that they can go to the UPS store or to FedEx or wherever they want, Kinko's or whatever you want to go to, and ask them to do the printing. And what's worse is that even if you do know that, the way to save your printout is not clear because it varies so much from one voting application to another. I think in the long run, we in the Federation will want to, we certainly are going to do this in Colorado, we'll be pushing for a way to submit our votes without having to print, because in our state at least, the overseas and military voters can do this. They have three different ways that they can send their stuff in electronically. They can fax their ballot, they can email their ballot, they can also go through a secure web portal. And I know the security pundits, who are not blind, may I say, really, really raise the red flags when you talk about not submitting your printed ballot in a hard copy paper. So I think in the long run, we'll have to think about that. I hope you guys in New Jersey can get your state government to make this a permanent system, the accessible one. My question has to do with whether or not the state has in place a way for voters who haven't done this before to take a look at a sample ballot so they can play with something that isn't the real vote, because that is one of the big frustrations those of us that have gone to the polls have run into, is you can't touch the technology at the polls unless you're doing a real ballot, which means that you're using technology that you only touch every so often, which means that a lot of people give up because it doesn't work. So what we'd like to, you know, I think that what you guys in the NFB of New Jersey want to do is to have a sample ballot that voters can play with to identify accessibility issues. Because I do not care what the vendors say. I don't care what the state government says. There are going to be times when somebody will say, who is not blind, that the system is accessible. And then the blind voter gets on and finds out there's one tiny little thing that doesn't work, which throws off the whole success story when it comes to voting. So that is my question, is whether the voters in New Jersey under this system for the primary that's coming up will have an ability to try it without having to mark a real ballot.
So I guess that would be a question for Mary Saccone to go first, maybe?
Yeah, this is Mary Saccone. To my knowledge, usually what happens is we send out a sample ballot to all registered voters before every election. This election, they were not sending out any sample ballots. This, because they're just setting up this system, I don't think they've thought of that at this point. As you say, they had one separate system for the May election, which had the electronic return, which I think was what we would really like, but the state got sued about the electronic return, which is why they've gone to the printout ballot return. So, but they just set this system up just a couple weeks ago. So I don't think there's been any of that type of thing, even discussion about it. So, and I don't know what they're doing for November because they haven't set this up for permanent issues. So that's another reason I think we need to have people actually use this system, because then we can go back to them and say, hey, people are using this system. It works. It's good. So, but having said that, that is a good point. And I think it may be something that if we can get a permanent system, or New Jersey agrees to do this permanently, then we definitely will want to advocate for that.
Thank you,
Thank
Mary.
You so much, Mary. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to unmute or ask to unmute Anne-Marie. So Anne-Marie, if you could unmute, you're next to ask your question. And then after Anne-Marie will be Ryan, Connor, and then the person with the last four digits, 6789. Anne-Marie, you're first.
Okay, great. First, I wanted to just quickly thank Luann for working on updating HAVA, because having tried to vote at my local polls with the accessible machine, it shouldn't take an hour and a half. Which is the problem, because so few people use the accessible machine here. So thank you for helping update and streamline the process. Secondly, I'm concerned, and I hope any of the guest panelists can answer this. My husband and I got our ballots in the mail last week, and I opened mine and looked at it with my closed-circuit TV, and it looks like there's a specific process to mailing back the completed print one. You get two envelopes for the sake of security. So you put your ballot inside an inside envelope, and then you put it in another envelope with your printout name and address, or at least your address, in the upper left-hand corner, and then you mail it in the special no-postage-required mailback envelope. Or I believe all counties are hoping to set up or working on setting up specific drop-off places so you don't have to rely on the U.S. Postal Service to get your mail back in time. So what happens? We put this in a regular legal size envelope, and then it gets discounted because it's not a specific authorized mailback envelope? That's my question. Thanks.
This is
so
Mary.
Can someone from the panel answer that, please?
You know, anyone can. I mean, Mary might know that answer better than anyone, or Luann would know that.
Yeah, this is Mary Saccone. So basically, once you print out the ballot, then it's treated. You need to treat it like everybody else would treat their ballots. And when you return a ballot, this is the one problem with vote by mail, is there's a lot of rules, and you have to follow the rules absolutely correctly. So what happens is you have your actual ballot, and that's what you print out. And then you're right, there's two different envelopes. There's an interior envelope, which is what you put your ballot in. There is no markings on that ballot of your name or anything to identify you. It's your ballot. That's the secret ballot.
But the outside isn't.
Then you have a separate, on the outside of the envelope, then you write, yeah. I think you have to sign your name, and that signature is what they use to match with your signature on the card. And then you take that, and you seal it up, and then you sign your name, and then you take that and stick it inside the envelope that you return to the Board of Elections. So there's multi-step process, and it needs to be followed absolutely correctly.
So you can't just put your ballot in an envelope and send it back. It has to be the envelope that you got with your regular ballot in the mail, except you've voted using the accessible form in which you print out. So in the long run, if you have someone in your household, it sounds like it's just easier, even though it's not following the philosophy and principle of accessible voting. If I have to spend so much more time doing this, it just seems like easier to have a sighted person color in the bubble for me and mail it. I know that sounds like sacrilege, but I'm not leaving any.
We want
everyone
to vote.
I can't say what's easiest, but it's whatever works for you and how you want to vote, but you got the option. So, but
yeah,
there is multiple steps that have to be done, which is why everybody would prefer the electronic return that we had in the prior election, because that's
exactly
so much easier, because there isn't all these extra steps. But that's not something that they're going to allow, at least right now.
Emery, thank you for your question.
There's a lot of.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mary, I guess this looks like the Mary Saccone show here, but question came up, and maybe Luann can answer this too, I don't know. I have asked two officials in New Jersey, I've gotten two different answers. Here's the scenario. Joe Ruffalo is running for governor against Amory Cook, let's say, okay? And Joe receives 1,000 votes, and Amory receives, 200 votes. And then there's 600 people who sent their votes in by absentee ballot. So one official said, we don't even count them. This is what he said. We don't count them because if all of them voted for Amory Cook, Joe, you would have won anyway. And the other gentleman said, we count every vote. So can you clarify that? I get two different answers from two different, quote, officials working these polling places.
Well, I think in this particular case, they're going to be counting every vote. Because most people are going to be returning their vote by mail. So, I mean,
yeah.
If they're saying, oh, we don't count at vote by mail ballots until, unless they would change the election, one, I don't think that really happens. And two, the issue is, as I say, I think as in this particular circumstances, there's going to be a lot more people responding by vote by mail. So there's no way they can't count the vote by mail. I think the bigger issue is going to be the signature, you know, in the past, there has been a problem in that if your signature didn't match the if their signature on the envelope didn't match the signature on the card at the, and if there was a mismatched signature, they would automatically discount your vote by mail ballot. That is not the case now. Now they have to give, there was just a settlement last week with League of Women Voters that they are going to give a person an opportunity to cure their signature discrepancy or explain their signature discrepancy, which is a big win for people with disabilities because their signatures don't always match. So this is something that is a good thing. So just so know that, because a lot of ballots were discounted because of the signature issue. So that's, they're hoping to correct that problem. So, but yeah, I my attitude is, if I vote, it's going to get counted.
Right.
Yeah, this is Luann. I would just add that absentee ballots typically are not counted on election day. It's generally, you know, the day after or days after that they are counted, but they are counted. Also, to Curtis's question, typically, a voter can access the ballot in an electronic ballot delivery system and mark the ballot as many times as they want. You can print it out as many times as you want, but you can only mail in one. So if you want to practice, you can go ahead and practice, marking that ballot, for the election, which is one of the big advantages over, the in-person voting. You can't practice on election day. on the ballot marking device, but you can practice on the electronic ballot delivery system. They don't care. You can access it and mark it, print it out as many times as you want, but you can only mail in one. So.
Thank you, Luann.
Feel free to practice. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luann.
Thank you, Luann, for clarifying that. And I would just say another thing. And again, I'm a sighted person, I certainly am not an expert on solving problems as a person who's blind, but I think of it this way, and this is one reason I think our product is really important. I have had from time to time, surgeries or disabilities that were temporary, and in a lot of those circumstances, the person I'd turn to is somebody like my sister, all right, and she's helping me with things. All sorts of things. But, me and my sister, we have some political disagreements, if you follow me. And, I love my sister and I depend on her for lots of things, but, I don't necessarily want her to see every vote that I've cast. So, just to answer Ms. Ann Marie's point, there may be some, a good bit of utility, even if there's a sighted person, it may seem more convenient. There may be some utility in not having someone, be able to witness your vote, even if it's someone you trust and love and is dear and near and dear to you. So that's just something I'd put out there.
Thank you so much for that, Charlie. Okay, so we're going to move on to Ryan Stevens. Before he asks his questions, I just want to say that he's the parliamentarian and legislative director for the National Federation of Blind of New Jersey. Ryan, you have the floor.
All right, thank you, Linda. This question goes to Charlie and Aaron, maybe Aaron a little more specifically. Has this system been tested on all web browser platforms, Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, Safari for iPhone and Android, to make sure that it works on all those platforms?
Yeah, this is Aaron. It's a very good question, and yes, it has. So the only all modern browsers, including your phone browsers, are compatible. Legacy Internet Explorer is being phased out. That's the only one that is potentially a problem. But if you're running Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, all of those will work.
Okay. And I guess the question are the in terms of if we need to put on a thumb drive, is there a button to do that, or is there what is the procedure for putting on the thumb drive available ahead of time or somewhere on? Yeah, I think you said the instructions came first. So is it part of the instructions, or and you know how easy of a process would that be to do compared to just printing it out on a printer?
To be honest, it's not something that I've tried. I think that the instructions will come as a PDF and okay. can be downloaded. The ballot will open a print dialog that you can save to a PDF. And I don't know, you know, I think it's personal experience if that's going to be a simple process for you or not. I do think it's a very good suggestion to add instructions as to how to do that. And they're not there now, so we can take a look at adding those instructions if not having a printer is a common or even not a common use case. I think we need to add those instructions.
Thank you for your question, Ryan. If you could please star 6 to mute yourself. Next up is Connor. Connor, if you could unmute yourself, please.
Thank you, Linda. I just want to clarify something about the process. You know, first of all, let me just say that I think I agree. I couldn't agree more with what Curtis was saying about how we need to move to a place in the future where we can have completely electronic voting. You know, we as a culture seem perfectly fine doing all of our finances online, but for some reason when it comes to empowering voters, that's a problem. So there's that. So that's my soapbox. But my question is, I want to make sure I understand this. We have to receive paper mail-in ballots before we can then print out and send the electronic, the ballot through the electronic system because we need the envelopes. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, this is Mary.
I think that might be a question for you to answer.
Yeah, that's correct. You should be getting your paper ballot. And yes, you will use the envelope that is included with the paper ballot to return your stuff. If you don't want to wait, you can just call it when you can ask the clerk to send you a new paper, new envelope. Say you got the paper ballot and you threw it out because you're like, I'm not doing it that way. I'm going to do it through the other one. And then you threw out the envelopes and didn't realize you needed to keep them. You can call the clerk and say, hey, I threw out my envelopes. Can I get a new one in my envelope for my, okay. So basically, yeah. So even if you technically didn't get one or, you know, whatever, you can request an additional one.
Great. Thank you.
To you.
Linda, before you go to the next person, I have a question too. Let's say 2-3 people live in the same household and they vote accessible, they print it out. Can they put all, they put their ballot in a small little envelope, can they put all their 3 little envelopes in one envelope and mail it, or do all 3 have to mail separately?
Mary?
Well, you have to put your ballot in the interior envelope because that's where you put your signature.
Right. Right.
If you want to put them all in the, I think you still need to use your own individual ballots because I think there's a barcode on there which clarifies, you know, so it's a way to track the ballots. So I think you want to use your own individual envelope personally.
Okay.
Because I think there's a barcode on there. But don't quote me on that because no one's ever asked me that question. But yeah, I think there's a barcode so that once again, that's a security feature to ensure that the person is the person that the ballot is the same as the ballot that was sent out. Thing. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, President Ruffalo. Thank you so much, Mary. So the person with the last four digits of their phone number, 6789, if you can unmute yourself. Actually, I have you unmuted.
Yep, you do. Hello, it's Betty Herman from Garden State Chapter. I have a comment and two quick questions. I'm very leery if you have to send it in through the computer, which I know you're saying is not being done at this time, but I don't like that idea. That means your vote is going to go through someone who's going to print it out and make sure it goes in the voting pile. Not good. Personally, I don't care for that idea at all. My question is... one is, how do I do the electronic signature? I've never done that before. Does anyone have an answer for electronic signature?
Hold on one second, Betty.
Okay.
So maybe Aaron or Charlie can answer that question.
So this is Aaron. The electronic signature was a requirement in the May election on the Democracy Live! Product. There's no electronic signature required in the July election.
Very good. And I already
thank you so much for that, Aaron.
And what was the second question? So I think it's already been answered. Basically, I have to put it in the same envelopes that it came in, both envelopes, correct?
Correct.
Is it already filled out, the envelope, then? I guess it is, with the stamp on it?
Yes, this is Mary Saccone again. Yes, the envelope that comes out, that comes in the mail, is return postage, so you don't have to pay for any postage. And it's already addressed to the Board of Elections for your county.
Thank you so much, Betty, for all your question. Next, I'm going to unmute or ask Ellen Sullivan to unmute. Ellen, you have the
thank
floor.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, everybody. It's been a very informative. I just want some clarification for the November election. If we want to vote accessible voting by mail, okay, then we have to reach out to our county clerk and let them know that we want to do that. So it's not going to by default happen otherwise. Am I correct?
This is Mary Saccone again. The law currently is they are setting this up for the primary. There is no law that allows you, there is no requirement that they have this in November. I'm going to continue to advocate for it because basically once they get it set up, they don't have to stop doing it. They're, you know, it's once it's set up, it's like, why do you go back? Voting by mail. People who vote by mail should have the same options as people who vote on a voting machine at the polling place. So, but yes, you know, you need, if you like this system and you want to keep it going, write your county clerk, write your Board of Elections, write the director of the Division of Elections, write the governor, write your local legislator, write everybody. Tell them, hey, let's keep this system. It worked really well. It helps me be able to vote by myself.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, there are no more...
Okay, I was going to say we probably have time for one or two more questions, but there's no more questions.
No problem, President Ruffalo. I was going to say that there are no more hands raised. I want to thank the participants who asked questions, and I also wanted to thank everybody for joining the call, and I'd like to turn it back over to you, President Ruffalo.
Thank you, Linda. I want to thank everyone on this call who participated by listening, asking their questions, and our presenters, Charlie, Aaron, Mary, Luann, and Tracy, and Linda for doing what she does so well. Keeps us all in line. Thank you, Linda. So without any further comments from me, I want to thank everyone. This has been recorded. Give us a day or two to get it up there, and give Ellen a little while to get her minutes together. When she sends out her minutes or report, a synopsis of the meeting, it will also have at the bottom of that synopsis the letter that was sent to us maybe a couple of days ago, a week ago, from the governor. So I want to thank everyone. Have a great afternoon. Appreciate everyone. Be well. Take care. Thanks. Bye.